بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 15th of February in the year 2019 and alhamdulillah I spent the session last night taking a glimpse into how beloved our beloved messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is to our exalted Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala, that nothing is accepted unless it coincides with the blessed sunnah of his beloved sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So in continuation, one must be alerted here to a fabrication which has been attributed to our beloved messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it states, seek to draw closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by virtue of my status, for my status with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is immense. Seek to draw closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by virtue of my status, for my status with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is immense. So Hafiz ibn Taymiyyah said about this rahmatullah alayh in his Iqtida as-Sirat al-Mustaqim 2-415, and Shaykh Albani rahmatullah alayh in his Ad-Da'ifa number 22. They both stated it is a fabrication. So now what's strange about this? The meaning is true. Though it is a fabrication when related back to our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, its meaning as shown i.e. in the previous sessions is undoubtedly true. So this is what's strange. Many fabricated reports, the meaning is beautiful, the meaning is true, but according to the science of hadith, you cannot attribute it to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is one example. Seek to draw closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by virtue of my status, for my status with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is immense. Subhanallah, his status is such that we are forbidden even to trouble him in any way, shape or form. For instance, in Ahmad in his Musnad number 18,950 or 4-332, Ahmad in his Fada'il al-Sahaba number 1,347 or 2-765, Tabarani in his Kabir 20-25, Hakim in his Mustadrak number 4,734 or 3-168, Sahih, Ibn Abi Asim in his Al-Ahad wa Al-Mathani number 2,956 or 5-362, Al-Haythami in Majma' al-Zawaid 9-203. Sayyidina Al-Miswar ibn Makhramah radiyallahu, he relates that our beloved messenger said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, innama fatimato shajnatan minni yabsutuni ma yabsutuha wa yakbiduni ma yakbiduha. Verily Fatima radiyallahu is but a branch from me sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hence I sallallahu alayhi wa sallam am made happy by makes what makes her happy, and similarly grieved by what grieves her. So let's look at this. So in this authentic report in Imam Ahmad's Musnad, Tabarani and Hakim, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Fatima is shajnatan minni, she's a branch from me. I am made happy by what makes her happy, and I am grieved by what grieves her. So this is the hadith. Imam Nawawi and Hafiz Al-Aini, rahimahumullah, they commented, the scholars, rahimahumullah, have said that this hadith shows it is forbidden to annoy or injure the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in any way, shape or form, even if the injurious act is permissible in its origin. This is recorded in Sharh Sahih Muslim 16-23, Umdatul Qari 15-34. So let's look at this. So what did two of the great scholars, the great Imam Nawawi and Hafiz Aini, say? They looked at this hadith regarding Fatima radiyallahu anha, and they said that this narration indicates that it is haram. It is forbidden to annoy or injure the Prophet in any way, shape or form. But then they added something. Even if the injurious act is permissible in its origin. Meaning, even if something is permissible, if it troubles the Prophet, it is forbidden. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hafiz ibn Hajar Asqalani, he further clarified in Fath al-Bari 9-329, Hafiz al-Munawi in his Faidul Qadir 4-421. This hadith shows it is forbidden to annoy or injure those who, if harmed, will bring annoyance and injury to the Prophet. This is because there is unanimous agreement. It is forbidden to annoy the Prophet, whether it be small or great. In this hadith, the Prophet states that he is annoyed by that which annoys Sayyida Fatima radiyallahu anha. Therefore, anyone who transgresses against Sayyida Fatima radiyallahu anha in any way and causes her injury and annoyance as a result, then he, by the express testimony of this authentic hadith, causes injury and annoyance to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There is therefore nothing worse than injuring her through the murder of her honorable son radiyallahu anha. Hence, it is known through istiqra, induction, that the one who injures her is punished swiftly in this life. And indeed, the torment of the hereafter is worse. So let's look at this. So Hafiz ibn Hajar Asqalani, Hafiz al-Munawi rahmatullah alayh, they are clarifying upon this hadith. They are saying it is absolutely forbidden to annoy or injure anybody who, if they are harmed, will bring annoyance to the Prophet. So if you injure somebody, and by injuring or harming them, you hurt in the Prophet, it is forbidden for you to do this. Whether it is small or great. And then they mention about Sayyida Fatima radiyallahu anha, that there can be nothing worse than injuring her. How? By killing her son. Who killed her son? Sayyidina Hussein. Think about that. Right? Somebody says, how bad a crime was that? So people look at Imam Hussein because he's the grandson of the Prophet. Correct? But prove to me how grave that crime is. You've not only killed the grandson of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you've hurt Fatima. That's going to hurt her too much. And by hurting her, what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? You're hurting me sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then the Shuyu said, the one who injures her is punished swiftly in this life, and the torment of the hereafter is worse. So what happened to those who were responsible for the martyrdom of Imam Hussein and his family, radiyallahu ta'ala? Look at the reports. Mention one. One of the culprits, he started vomiting excrement. This is in Tabarani. And he died from some strange illness that nobody knew. Another one of them, his sexual organs started to grow. Allah Ta'ala was giving them horrific punishments. Why? Because they had troubled Fatima. By troubling Fatima, you hurt the Prophet. Then the cause now is you're going to be very quickly punished in this world. Then in the Akhirat, he goes, God knows what Allah Ta'ala is going to do to you. So now, what is it mentioned in the Quran? In Surah Al-Ahzab, Surah 33, verse 53. The Almighty and Glorious, he says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وَمَا كَانَ لَكُمْ أَن تُؤْذُوا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Nor is it right for you that you should annoy Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah, the Almighty and Glorious, says clearly in the Quran, Surah 33, verse 53, it is not right for you that you should annoy Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And just a few verses later, our loving Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala warns one and all of the dire consequences of this. In Surah Al-Ahzab, Surah 33, verse 57, أَوْذِ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُؤْذُونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ لَعْنَهُمُ اللَّهِ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ وَأَعَدَّ لَهُمْ عَذَابًا مُهِينًا. Verily, those who annoy Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has cursed them in this world and in the hereafter, and He has prepared for them a humiliating punishment. A'udhu billah. So let's look at this. So you got two verses, Surah 33 verse 53, and four verses on Surah 33 verse 57. In verse 53, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells all the believers Do not annoy Rasulullah. Do not annoy him. 4 verses later, he tells you why. Those who annoy Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what happens? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, first, they are cursed in this world. And number 2, in the hereafter. And number 3, He has prepared for them a humiliating punishment. So if you annoy Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you're cursed in the dunya. You're cursed in the hereafter. And you've lost. You're a loser. What does annoy mean? Think about that. It doesn't say harm him. Annoy is like, you know, just troubling somebody slightly. Consider that even raising one's voice in his presence is enough to destroy or pulverize anyone, no matter how exalted their status. In Surah Al-Hujarat, Surah 49, verse 2, the Almighty and Glorious says, A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Rajeem. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu la tarfa'u aswatakum fawqa sawti an-nabiyyi wa la tajharu lahu bil qawli ka jahri ba'dikum li ba'din an tabtaghu an tahbata a'malakum wa antum la tash'urun. O you who believe, do not raise your voices above the voice of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And do not be allowed when speaking to him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as you are loud when speaking to one another, lest your good deeds become void whilst you are unaware. So in this holy verse, Surah Hujarat, verse 2, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do not raise your voice above the voice of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Do not speak to him as you speak to each other. Otherwise, you will lose your entire good deeds and you won't even know. Who was this verse revealed for? In Sahih Bukhari, number 4367, Abdullah ibn Zubair, radiallahu anhu, he gave the reason for the revelation of this verse. A delegation from Banu Tamim came to the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Bakr, upon seeing them, radiallahu anhu, he suggested to the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Al-Qa'qa ibn Ma'abad be sent to meet them. Umar radiallahu anhu, he suggested that Al-Aqra ibn Habis be sent to meet them. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, irritated by Umar's suggestion, he responded, you only said this to contradict me. Umar radiallahu anhu replied in the negative. A quarrel ensued in which both the sheikhs raised their voices to such a level that the Holy Prophet's voice was drowned out. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Almighty and Glorious Subhanahu wa ta'ala thereupon revealed this verse. So let's look at this. Where is it recorded? Sahih Bukhari. A delegation is the year of delegations where tribes are embracing Islam. Because the Prophet was now dominant in the Arabian Peninsula. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So every time a tribe came, the Prophet would send somebody out to welcome them. This is the Sunnah. You don't wait for them to come. You welcome them. So Abu Bakr suggested, radiallahu anhu, with his deep knowledge of the lineage, he was a master in terms of genealogy. He goes, Al-Qa'qa ibn Ma'abad, I think he should go, Ya Rasulullah. Send him to greet the delegation. So Umar radiallahu anhu, he suggested another name. Al-Aqra ibn Habis. Now why did that irritate Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu? Because Abu Bakr had knowledge of genealogy to a very high degree. Umar did not. So he said to him, because you only said that to contradict me. So Umar said, no, I just wanted to give my view. And then their voices were raised, whose voice was now drowned out? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Was this a small matter? Allah the Almighty revealed, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe, La tarfa'u aswatukum fawqa sawti an-nabi. Do not raise your voices above the voice of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Wa la tajharu lahu bil qawli ka jahri ba'dikum li ba'din an tahbata a'malakum wa antum la tash'urun. And do not be allowed when speaking to him, as you are allowed when speaking to one another, lest your good deeds become void whilst you are unaware. We've been through Abu Bakr's life, radiallahu anhu. How many good deeds has he got? You can only appreciate that when you go through his life. Khuda Hafiz, gone. If he continued to raise his voice above the Prophet. So who the hell are you, brother? Some guy in the 21st century. What's Allah going to do to you? And who else? Umar radiallahu anhu, whose life you've been through a few years ago. All his deeds are lost. Why? Allah Ta'ala doesn't look at status. Now this is why it was the sheikhs who Allah Ta'ala inspired for this incident. Why? Because if it was any other sahaba, you would have thought, with all respect to these great companions, if Abu Bakr had done it, Allah Ta'ala would not have revealed that verse. Or if Umar had done it, Allah Ta'ala chose the two greatest sahaba. He goes, I'll wipe them out. If they continue to raise the voice over my Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what happened? In Bayhaqi, Ad-Dur al-Mantur, Ma'arif al-Qur'an, volume 8, page 115 of the English translation, Abu Bakr Siddiq thereupon said, radiyallahu, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from now on till my last breath, I shall speak to you as if someone who is whispering. Subhanallah. By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from now on till my last breath, I shall speak to you as if someone who is whispering. So he prepared the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because I'm not even going to speak to you normally now. I'm going to be whispering. Meaning, right? And the Prophet didn't say, no, it's okay, Abu Bakr. Go ahead. Ever since that moment, he was now whispering to the Prophet. Imagine. In one report, the report says the Prophet sometimes would ask again what he was asking, because he was so quiet in his speech. The same is mentioned about Umar radiallahu anhu. And his voice was thunderous. Abu Bakr, you know, he wasn't really a physically powerful man. Umar had a thunderous voice. And for him to lower his voice for the Prophet to ask him to repeat, why were they doing that? Because this is the status of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So now, how many times have I mentioned this? Does this command only apply to the Sahaba? Qadi Abu Bakr ibn al-Arabi, rahmatullah alayh, he had thereupon gone on to make a very important clarification. This is in Ma'rif al-Quran, volume 8, page 115 of the English translation. Respect for the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after his passing away is just as compulsory as it was during his lifetime. Therefore, some of the scholars, rahimahumullah, have expressed the view, it is disrespectful to even give salam or speak aloud in front of the Holy Prophet's grave. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Likewise, it is discourteous to make noise where the prophetic ahadith are being recited. For when the blessed words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are being recited, it is compulsory to listen to them silently. In the same manner, it is unmannerly behavior to raise voices after his passing away when his noble words are being repeated. So let's break this down. So who's the sheikh first? Qadi Abu Bakr ibn al-Arabi. He was a Maliki sheikh. He wrote a commentary of the Quran. He was a huge alim, about, you know, graciously sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, the respect remains after he is tasted death. Exactly the same. And then he said, when you are at his grave, do not even give salam to each other. Think about that. Salam sunnah. Not at his grave. So imagine you're at the holy grave, you're in the queue, and you see somebody you haven't seen for many years. His status is so great, no salam. Why? Who are you supposed to be focusing on? Right? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he said, don't speak aloud in his presence. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then the third thing he said, to raise your voice where the hadith is mentioned is also under this threat. It is compulsory to listen to it silently. Think about that. So when the Prophet's narration, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is being mentioned, you have to listen. He goes, it's compulsory. And then he said, if you raise your voice after his passing away, when his noble words are being repeated, he goes, you're in danger. So now, to add this, Mufti Shafi, rahmatullah alayh, he wrote a commentary of the Quran called Marif al-Quran. Marif al-Quran is a summary of Bayan al-Quran by Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi, rahmatullah alayh. Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi, rahmatullah alayh, he was a master of the four tariqah. He was a tasawwuf master. He wrote a tafsir of the Quran, and he was a muhaddith. Think about that, right? So he wrote a commentary of the Quran called Bayan al-Quran, the explanation of the Quran, 30 volumes. His student, Mufti Shafi, he looked at this blessed work. He goes, it's too much for the layman. But there's so much goodness in this work, the layman need to have access for it. So he summarized it. Basically took out all the technical points that the scholars can only benefit from. And he did an 8-volume tafsir, summary of Bayan al-Quran called Marif al-Quran. Now if you read Marif al-Quran, you would think this is written for the scholars. But what does that tell you about people now? He summarized it for laymen. The laymen are saying, I still don't understand it. That means now you have to go to nursery, kindergarten, break it down further. So anyway, he come across this verse and he's writing the commentary. And one thing baffled him. The verse says, lest your good deeds become void whilst you are unaware. أَن تَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالُكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ Surah 49 verse 2. So he couldn't find the link. He said, raising your voice above the Holy Prophet is a grave crime. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. There's no doubt. But it's not unbelief. The Quran is telling you, you've lost everything. So if you've lost everything, you've lost your iman. So he could not understand the link. He goes, raising your voice above the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and losing your iman. So he asked Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi, rahmatullah alayh. He goes, respected Shaykh, what is this verse? Why is Allah Ta'ala saying you will lose your deeds without even knowing? Is it kufr to raise your voice above the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi, rahmatullah alayh, said no. But you will die without iman. So if you've done it, you haven't done tawbah, you will die without iman. That's how angry Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, no matter what state you're in. If Allah ta'ala is going to take Abu Bakr, don't come out with my heart's pure. Right? The two sheikhs will die without iman. It's such a great crime. Why is the anger of Allah the Almighty so high? Because of the Messenger of Allah. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Think about that. So if you raise your voice above the hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, kiss your iman goodbye. But guess what? At that point, you haven't lost your iman. But you will die without iman. That's the threat. So how do you, therefore it's absolutely obligatory to do tawbah. Not istighfar, tawbah. Never to go back to that. So where's the obvious problem? It's common now. Common. Right? You know, you go, person's reading a hadith. Person's having a gupshup. Person's narrating a hadith. He's thinking about something else. Why are the Muslims in that mindset? Because they've lost their connection with the Rasulullah. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah the Almighty and Glorious set the standard with the two sheikhs. I won't even excuse the two sheikhs. But to be fair to the great sheikhs, how does Allah the Almighty and Glorious address them? Ya ayyuhalladina amanu, O you who believe. Meaning, you have got your iman. He doesn't say to them that you've lost your iman, but he warned them at the end. And immediately the two sheikhs did tawbah. Imagine. Absolute. And after that, just read Surah Hujarat. If you want to know the status of the Prophet, read Surah Hujarat. It's all about him. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Do not raise your voice above him. Do not call him like you call yourselves. Those who call you from... And there's actually a report, I'll mention it. The delegations were coming. These people weren't trained. One of the delegations came, and outside his hujarat, one of the elders cried out, "Oh Muhammad, come out." Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So obviously he didn't mean any disrespect by that. That's how they were. When he said that, Allah Ta'ala revealed the verse in Surah Al-Hujurat, "Do not, they have no sense who call you to come out from the Hujurat." Allah Ta'ala goes, they've got no sense. So here, this was the second last year of the Prophet's life. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Look at the status of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And why is the surah called Surah Al-Hujurat? Hujurat means the sacred chambers. Chambers of who? Our mothers. Each of the holy mothers has a hujra, has a, you know, we actually use that word, we call it hujra, right? A place of gathering. But hujarat is the place where the mothers reside. Allah is honoring them as well. And this surah is amazing if you read it. And what happens, just to conclude, if you look at the surah, it starts off with, "Oh, you who believe, oh, you who believe, oh, you who believe," command after command, command after command. Then suddenly towards the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Ya ayyuhan nas," O mankind. So now why is there a switch from "O you who believe" at the beginning to at the end, "O mankind"? The scholars of the Quran, they say, you will never be able to really transform mankind until you've got everything was mentioned prior to that in Surah Al-Hujurat. Meaning that you're not wasting your time, but it's not going to be effective. Everything Allah Ta'ala has told you to do prior to that, if you get everything in, then mankind, you'll see a huge impact. But if you read Surah Hujarat, you think, "I haven't got that in my life. I haven't got that in my life." Well, how are you going to impact upon mankind? So the Surah Hujarat, you know, is an amazing surah. It's certainly worth some time to study. So note, the reason I mentioned it here was to highlight again the sublime status of our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His status is, nobody is equated to it. And note, to annoy is the least troublesome thing you can do to a person. In English, you've annoyed him. How do you annoy a person? You can annoy a person by a look. You don't even have to say something. Allah Ta'ala goes, "You do that to my Messenger, you're cursed in the world, you're cursed in the hereafter, and a humiliating punishment is waiting for you." Why do you think Amr ibn al-As couldn't look at the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Amr ibn al-As, he was with the Prophet the whole of his life sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and yet he humbly said in Sahih Muslim, "Do not ask me to describe him. Ever since I embraced Islam, I haven't had a look at him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." Now why was he in that state? Because he now understood the status of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Couldn't even look. Who were the only two would look at him? Abu Bakr and Umar. The hadith is in Tirmidhi and Mishkat. The Sahaba Anas radiyallahu anhu said, when the Holy Prophet entered the Masjid sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, nobody dared look at him except Abu Bakr and Umar. They would smile at the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he would smile back. So leaving aside the two sheikhs, why wouldn't they look at him? Because they knew his status sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Birds would be perched on their heads when the Prophet was talking to them. They wouldn't even move in his presence. Birds would think, "This is a pole." No, it's not. It's a sahaba. If he couldn't stop breathing in the presence of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When they were being crucified, what were they saying? Abu Sufyan approached one of the companions just before he got killed, crucified and showered with arrows. Because wouldn't you love Muhammad to be in your place? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what did that sahaba say? He goes, "Subhanallah, I wouldn't even tolerate a thorn pricking his foot to be in my place. You want him to take my place?" And what did Abu Sufyan say? "I have not seen love displayed as the companions show to their Prophet." Little did he know, he's going to become a companion. Radiallahu. When Urwa ibn Mas'ud went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the spokesman of the unbelieving Quraysh in Sahih Bukhari, Treaty of Hudaybiyah, what did he say when he went back? He said to the Quraysh, do not oppose this man. They go, why? He goes, I've been in the company of the Persian royalty and the Roman royalty, but I have not seen love as I've seen the companions' love for their prophet. He goes, when he was doing wudu, they wouldn't even allow the water to touch the ground. He goes, they would fight over it. He goes, my advice is do not. That man became a sahaba, Urwa ibn Mas'ud. And how great did he become? The Prophet said it in Sahih Muslim, he looks like Christ. He resembled Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, and he was martyred when he went back to his tribe, Urwa ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu. So look at these very interesting statements non-Muslims were making. Abu Sufyan goes, I've not seen anything like this. He becomes a sahaba. Urwa ibn Mas'ud, I've not seen anything like this. I'm telling you, don't get involved. He becomes a sahaba. Why? Because they were now seeing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And yet look how humble he was, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There was a woman that came to him and she started shaking. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ya miskina as-sakina. Oh, what's the way to translate in English? Right? Oh, Ya miskin. Oh, you can't translate it, right? Basically, oh woman who is in awe, Ya miskina, as-sakina, be at ease. This is only a man who eats whose mother used to eat dried pieces of meat. Now look how humble he was. Why was she shaking? She's in the presence of the Prophet. So the Prophet ﷺ, completely opposite. He put it at ease. He goes, oh, you know, humble woman, be at ease. I'm only the son of a woman who used to eat dried meat. Was he? So this is the state of the Prophet. And one last report. The hadith is in Nasa'i, Sahih Hadith. This Sahaba was telling his son about the Prophet. The son has never seen the Prophet. And the son then says, one day my father was going to take me to the Prophet. And when I walked with my father to see the Prophet for the first time, I was shocked. Because he was a man. That's the hadith. So what is the lesson in between the lines of this hadith? How were the Sahaba educating their children when it came to the Prophet? They thought he wasn't human. He was hearing, he didn't mention what his father taught him. He goes, I was expecting the Prophet to be like this. When I looked, he was a man. Now that irony, so-called learned people say, he's only a man. Think about that. Right? So note, this is a grave, grave failing in our part. And when we realize that, Allah Ta'ala will surely give honor to this ummah once more. SubhanAllah. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? سبحان ربي الحمد لله اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك واعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والاصل الانسان لفي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات ورواصوا بالحق ورواصوا بالصبر صدق الله العظيم